Support for this podcast and the following message come from the United States Postal Service. Turn shipping to your advantage with USPS Ground Advantage service. Learn how to gain a competitive edge at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Gregory Warner here to tell you about NPR's new international podcast. It's called Rough Translation. Each week, we're going to take you to a different country to hear a story that reflects back on something that we are talking about here in the United States. Maybe get a perspective shift. Travel with us. Rough Translation is on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, we recorded this episode with Penn Jillette in Phoenix, Arizona. It was a great show, and you're going to hear puzzle guru Art Chung make a controversial call that sent one contestant packing. But keep listening at the end of the show to hear Art's explanation of his decision.
Warning, this podcast uses some unsavory language. Please be advised.
Hey, Jonathan.
Yeah?
We're on the road in Phoenix.
I know.
So you know what that means.
Yeah.
Time zone quiz.
Very exciting.
Okay, so if it's noon in New York, what time is it in Illinois?
11 a.m.
That is right. What time is it in California?
9 a.m.
Exactly. And what time is it in Arizona?
No one knows, but it's a dry heat. From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from the Orpheum Theater in Phoenix, Arizona, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's great to be here in Phoenix, Arizona, and we have four brilliant contestants backstage organizing a carpool back to Tucson, but only one will be our big winner. And our special guest is one half of the legendary comedy magic duo Penn and Teller. It's Penn Jillette. Our first game is for those of you who love clickbait headlines, like Faith in Humanity Restored, two inspiring contestants risk it all in a game about history. Let's click on them. First up, Ashley Whipple on buzzer number one. You are a food blogger and cookbook author. Welcome.
Hi, thanks.
And your opponent is Cole Eskridge on buzzer number two. You work at an office of digital learning at the University of Arizona.
Yes, I do.
Welcome. The first of you who wins two of our games will move on to the final round at the end of the show. Let's start with a trivia game called Clickbait History. Many people don't like learning about history, but they do like reading BuzzFeed articles about kittens.
To get more people interested in history, we have written clickbait-style headlines for important historical events. So just buzz in to identify the event that we are talking about. Here we go.
You had one job. Watch these Wall Street bozos' epic 1929 fail video. Cool.
The Great Depression?
Yeah, that is correct. The Great Depression. There was a lot of LOLing in the 20s.
Yeah, they L'd way O-L
they did.
In the 20s.
And then they had no jobs.
That's right. Are you an observant Catholic loyal to the throne? Answer these questions under extreme duress to find out. Cole.
The Spanish Inquisition.
You got it.
Oh, no, they didn't. You won't believe what these 56 colonists just signed. Cool.
The signing of the Declaration of Independence.
That is correct. And then that crazy gang of misfits went on to start a country. On July 20th, 1969, two guys used this one weird trick to cut their weight by 83%. Cool.
The landing on the moon?
That is correct. The first 10 pounds are water weight, just so you know.
In 1989, these people thought they were vandalizing a wall. What they really did? Germany will never be the same. Cole.
The tumbling of the Berlin Wall.
That's correct.
Germany will never be the same. That's been said a few times. What, too soon? What's the problem? This is your last clue. Trend alert, arts, sciences, and humanities way up after centuries of garbage. Ashley.
Oh, I was not expecting that to work. Okay.
Answers.
Let's see.
Right? So there was the Dark Ages. We're not looking for that.
No.
And then
there's fairs, Puzzlegur Archung. Would you like to give a hint?
We want you to get this. It's sort of like a rebirth of our arts and sciences.
Oh, the Renaissance.
Yes, indeed. Puzzlegur Archung, how did our contestants do?
Cole was a little bit faster on the buzzer. Congratulations, Cole. You're one step closer to the final round.
Synchronize your watches. We're about to play an audio quiz based on Arizona's loose relationship with time. But first, let's check in with our contestants. Ashley, you're not only a baker, but you got a book deal.
Yes.
From that blog. So what is the recipe? Or was there one thing that got you this book deal?
There was. So the recipe book is all Rice Krispie Treats.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. And so
How many pages is that?
Well, it's 100 recipes.
What?
So, yeah. It's a lot of Rice Krispies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're little ice cream cones, and then the Rice Krispie Treats are like the scoop on top, and there's like sprinkles and frosting, so it looks just like an ice cream cone.
Okay. So are any of them savory Rice Krispie Treats?
Yeah. I've got bacon and maple. That's probably the most savory is the bacon.
But yeah. Do you ever have roast beef with a little side of Rice Krispie?
No.
No.
Not so much.
Okay. Well, I'm just creating with you.
If
you
could,
yeah, very good. Cole, you work at the University of Arizona where you help professors use technology in the classroom.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so what piece of technology do you think is the most helpful for learning and teaching?
I would probably say just a really well thought out PowerPoint, honestly.
Really?
It's something that's really universal that can be designed. Everybody can access it if it's presented well, and it's pretty familiar to people, so it doesn't have a really steep learning curve associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like it. I like the way you presented that. Now, what would you say, like 200 plus slides or 10?
Oh, goodness. I always say the less the instructor is saying and the more that the people in the room are talking, that's a successful class.
Yeah. That's when you're learning. Very good. Okay, so fun fact, Arizona does not recognize daylight saving time. So, that's right.
They're pretty smug about it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's real time here. So we have an audio quiz called Daylight Saving Time Travel. We're going to play you a clip from a famous work involving time travel. You have to buzz in and identify the work. Okay, Cole, you won the last game, so win this. You'll go to the final round. Ashley, you need to win this, or you'll have to come over to my house and reset the clock on my car radio, my microwave, my coffee maker, my VCR, yes, I have one, and a travel cuckoo clock.
Got it.
Here's your first clip.
So look, I came back to 1955 again with you, the you from 1985, because we had to get a book from Biff. So once I got the book back, you, that is the you from 1985, we're in the DeLorean and it got struck by lightning and you got sent back to 1885!
Cool.
I believe that's Back to the Future.
Sure, in this world you have to be a little bit more specific.
Back to the Future 2?
No!
Oh. Sorry. Ashley, can you steal?
I'm going to go ahead and say Back to the Future 1, the original.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's okay that you weren't aware that all of the intricacies of Back to the Future Part 3. But yeah, that is where that is from. Partially filmed in Arizona. All right, here's your next one.
I don't know why I did the things I did. I don't know why I said the things I said.
Cool.
I believe that shares if I could turn back time.
Yes, it is. Share the closest thing we have to a time traveler. This is from a TV show starring Keri Russell.
No, the time travel spell does work. That's why I'm here. I've already done all of this. I've been a senior. I've already graduated. The reason all of this happened was I found out my boyfriend cheated on me and my friend Megan did your spell so I could come back here and be with this other guy, this really great guy who I always wanted to be with.
Cool.
Is that Felicity?
Why, it is Felicity, okay. Yes. Yeah. All right, this is a song from a video game series that features time travel. Cool.
That'd be The Legend of Zelda?
That is correct. Cool, are you a fan?
Oh, very much so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's the best video game of all time?
I'd certainly say no video game has made me cry except for Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, so.
I'm trying to think what would make me cry in a video game. Like, my brother appears as a character and apologizes? Like, I don't know.
That would be an amazing video game.
Super specific.
Ophira's brother's apology?
Yeah.
It's a first-person shooter.
The Legend of... Don't worry, he's not listening. See if you can guess this movie adapted from a best-selling book published in 2003.
He tells me that he's a time traveler, you know, because he travels through time.
And did you believe him?
Not until he disappeared right in front of me, you know, like he just disappeared.
Cool.
Is that the time traveler's wife?
Yes. That is correct. All right, we have a couple more for you. Here is a PBS throwback.
Jacqueline Hyde just stole something from the past. You've got 28 minutes to get it back or history will change forever. Initiate chrono skimmer launch sequence. Boot up the chrono computer.
Cool.
That is the greatest game show ever made, Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego?
Yeah. All right, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? I'm familiar with. This next version, Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego? Why didn't they just call it When is Carmen Sandiego? All right, this is your last clue. You may have spent 6 years of your life on this one.
We have to go back, Kate. We have to go back!
Ashley.
Lost?
Yeah, that's right,
yes.
Lost. Puzziker Archung, how did our contestants do?
Cole, you won both games, and you're moving on to the final round. Congratulations.
Coming up, we'll find out who will face off against Cole in our final round at the end of the show, and I'll interview one half of the comedy magic duo Penn and Teller. Let's hope we book the one who talks. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy. This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive, and it's Name Your Price tool. Say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show coverage options within your budget. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia, coming to you from the Orpheum Theater in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Jonathan Colton with puzzle guru Art Chung. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's time to welcome our special guest. He's one half of the legendary comedy magic duo Penn and Teller, whose show at the Rio Hotel and Casino is the longest running headliner show in Las Vegas. Please welcome Penn Jillette. Welcome to Ask Me Another.
I'm so glad to be here.
Thrilled. I love magic. But I have learned...
That's one of us.
Yeah, through interviews that you hate magic.
Well, I never was fond of it. No, I never was fond of it. But I wasn't talented enough to do music. So let me ask you this. Do you want to compete with Bob Dylan or Doug Henning? Which one do you want to go one-on-one with?
Right. So, you know, when I read that you hate magic, it actually made sense to me in a way, because one of the things that I love about your show is that you tend to pull the curtain away from the mystery of magic, and you like to let people in. You don't even like the word illusion or...
Well, illusion can be a term of art.
Yeah.
I mean, illusion, if you want to be careful about it, is something that looks one way because of usually optics. So it's a mirror thing or something. We don't do many of those. We do tricks.
Tricks.
Which I think are actually more sophisticated and intellectual than illusions, which is just gluing two front surface mirrors together at 45-degree angles, and then the sides look like the back. And you're done.
But tricks involve skill and practice and...
Lying.
And lying. A lot of lying.
Yeah.
When you perform as Penn and Teller, you do all the talking and Teller is silent the entire time. So why doesn't Teller speak?
I take no credit for that. It actually predates me working with Teller. Teller worked his way through college... doing magic at frat parties. And I've forgotten what level of Dante's hell that is, but it's real close to the center. And Teller discovered that if he did kind of morbid and bothersome stuff, people would grow tired of heckling him if he said nothing back. And I was homeless, but I was traveling around the country, and I found myself wanting to be louder and more aggressive. So we first worked together. We were two separate acts of the same bill, and in order to work together, we had to keep the integrity of the two acts, so Teller just was staying silent so this other stuff, the other material, would work, and we just found stuff that seemed really nice about that. And Teller and I discovered that with Teller not talking, we could do essentially a one-person show done by two people and both face out. And the proof of that is that during our 90-minute show in Vegas, I make eye contact with Teller twice, and only because I have to. Only because it's in the script. I mean, the crew backstage laughs, and we don't even see each other. You know, one of us will, like, change our appearance, you know. And then after the show, you know, the other one will go, huh, did he change something? Because we don't even see each other. It's not like, you know, you're looking at me, I'm looking at you.
Sure.
Penn and Teller, we don't do that. We would just be like this, straight out, that's it.
But you guys like hanging out with each other, right?
No.
Okay.
Most teams... start out as love affairs. I mean, certainly Lennon McCartney, certainly Martin and Lewis. And Teller and I never felt that. I thought I could do better stuff with Teller than I could do alone professionally, and Teller felt the reciprocal. And we wanted to work together, but there was no sort of affection. And I think that's one of the reasons we've been together so long, is it turns out that respect is more useful than affection.
Mm-hmm.
And we are together 40, 50 right. hours a week. It's like if I go out with Teller after a show, well, what'd you do today? The same thing you did.
Right. Exactly. Now, I know that you did not go to college and you were just talking a little bit.
I went to Ringling Brothers Barn and Bear, the greatest show on earth, Clown College.
Okay, Clown College.
I did.
So did you have...
I can take a slap anytime you want. I'm ready.
What is your clown name? Do you have a clown name?
No, I actually didn't. I didn't. I was a very, very, very bad clown. I had to be...
That sounds like the best clown, a bad clown.
I was in remedial makeup, and they let me in because I was a very, very good juggler. But I found that every time I would get even the slightest laugh, it was always verbal, and not physical. And I'm not much of a physical comedian. Even when studying it and working on it, I just couldn't develop the skills. It's a question whether clowns are ever funny, but this one certainly wasn't.
I want to talk about some of your television series. On Showtime, I loved the series. The name we will use on our show is BS.
I'll tell you, I don't know whose idea it was. At least I do. It's mine. When you have the stupid idea of giving your show a name with an obscenity in it,
yeah.
When you become a very successful show on Showtime, they call you up and say, love to do billboards, guys, but we just can't. We're not doing the ads. And also, we were nominated for, I think, at least 3 Emmys, and they just simply did not want anyone to open an envelope and go, and the winner is bullshit. Just because it's true. It would be true every time.
Right. It was, that's like basically the premise of the show.
A simple
is
statement
that
of fact.
Fantastic. Yeah, so if you missed it, BS was all about debunking commonly held beliefs. Mm-hmm. Which one was the most gratifying? Or
one of the hardest ones, one of the first ones, we did Talking to the Dead. And we did it right after my mom died. And we started writing the show kind of saying, isn't it silly that these people talk to the dead? And then as we got to doing it, all of a sudden it got wicked real, you know? And all of a sudden I went, wow, they really are exploiting grief. Imagine if someone took these memories of my mom, which is all I have of her now, and distorted them in order to feel a little power and make some money. So that one was a really important emotional show to me. And one of the things we did on BS that I'm really proud of is we tried to always attack ideas and not the people.
Right.
Now, there are exceptions to that that I'm not proud of, but what we would always do, and people got mad at us for this, is people that were on our side, because we agreed with them completely and were friends of ours, we'd use that opportunity to rip them apart and then be really nice to the people who were wrong.
And your recent television series, Penn and Teller Fool Us, where...
Which abbreviates to F-U, by the way. There is a pattern here.
So magicians come on the show in front of a live audience and perform for you, and you have to try to figure out how their tricks are done. So how does it feel to be fooled?
It's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
You don't get into magic because you want to fool people. You get into magic because you want to be fooled. And then you keep chasing that first high. So backstage in the green room, Tell and I would sit back there, magicians would come back and go, guys, have you seen this? And they'd do a trick for us, and there'd be like a moment, and then Teller would say, yeah, real nice version of that.
Right.
And there'd be like a nice smile, or Teller and I would both go, whoa. And we just thought that letting other people see that, you know, you can't prove to people that there's no camera tricks on a magic show on TV. So when you see Fool Us, because we're there and we're seeing it once, you know that it's not just from one angle, and you know that it's also live, you know? So the competition is only there to verify that these are really wonderful magicians doing a great job.
Right, and to give stakes. You need stakes and some sort
of... Yeah, kind of. Although everybody knows everything. You know what I mean?
Right.
They will know two-thirds of the way through whether they fooled us or not.
And do you find out how the tricks that fool you are done?
There's no formal way of that, but I'll tell you, as soon as we finish, the guy runs to our seats and goes, yeah, it was a double face card and a rough smooth. I was so sure you were going to bust me. It's just a double facer. And we go, double face? Sure, it's double face, of course. You know, that's the way it works.
Right.
Except for one guy, he fooled us and then wrote us emails for weeks afterwards going, huh, you didn't have any idea, did you? Huh. Kind of got you there, didn't I? Kind of got you. Would you like to know? I'm not going to tell you. Maybe I will later. But most people, because you're jacked up on the show and
right.
out of your mind, you run over and go, I tell you everything.
Right.
By the way, I'm having an affair. You know, they just, everything. Just all their secrets they
totally.
Have.
Totally. All right. So, Pendulette, we've written a magic history quiz for you.
Jiminy.
And if you do well enough, our listener, Scott Weiss from Walkersville, Maryland, will win an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube.
I'm going to cop one anyway and send it to him.
Great. Perfect.
If you don't think I can steal a Rubik's Cube.
Amateur magician and vaudeville performer Jack Norworth didn't make it big in magic, but he did in songwriting. What song did he write, which is sung by millions of Americans each year? Was it A, the national anthem?
Good.
B, B, happy birthday to you.
No.
Or
to women,
C,
Paul McCartney.
Take me out to the ball game.
Take me out to the ball game.
That is correct.
Dorothy Dietrich is believed to be the only female magician to have performed what trick considered to be the deadliest illusion in magic?
Oh, bullet catch?
Yes, the bullet catch is correct.
Wasn't it a multiple choice?
It was, but I didn't think you needed it.
Oh, yeah, bullet catch.
That's right, bullet catch specifically in the mouth. Why are there not more female magicians?
I think there are going to be. I believe it has to do with the same reason you didn't have women come. I mean, obviously Joan Rivers, Phyllis Diller, and so on. But why that was more difficult. One reason is we didn't let them. I mean, women were not welcomed in magic clubs. That's one whole awful reason.
Sure.
But there's also, there's a kind of I know this and you don't type attitude that in our culture is not associated with female gender.
Interesting.
And as Jerry Seinfeld says, all magic is, here's a quarter, now it's gone, you're a jerk, now it's back, you're an idiot, show's over. And magic is just a formal form of mansplaining.
Now, I think it would be fun as a female magician to saw a man in half.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Right? But we lengthwise.
We had a woman. Yeah, lengthwise is the way to go. And I know what end you're starting at.
Houdini took his name from a 19th century magician whose
Robert
name
Houdin.
Is... Yes. The father of modern conjuring. One
yes.
of his tricks involved a box placed on stage. It was very easy to lift for a child volunteer, but impossible to lift for an adult. How did he do it?
Oh, this is so... This is a light-heavy box. We have a bit in our show all about this. It was done with electromagnets. Oop, I give it away. Oh, geez, that Penn and Teller thing.
That is correct. Electromagnets is correct.
Okay, this is your last question. Whew. In 1975, Prince Charles...
Cups and balls. Magic circle. Okay, go ahead.
That is correct. Chung, how did our special guest do at his quiz?
Congratulations, Penn. You and listener Scott Weiss have both won Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube.
Penn Jillette's New York Times bestseller Presto comes out in paperback on June 6th, and Penn and Teller Fool Us airs on Mondays on the CW. Everyone give it up one more time for Penn Jillette. Next, we'll play a game based on our favorite prefix, re. What's your favorite prefix? Please let us know on Facebook or Twitter. Let's meet our next two contestants. First up, Shoshana Simmons on buzzer number one.
Hello.
Hi. You're a wish manager at Make-A-Wish Foundation. Welcome. Your opponent is Freya Mehta on buzzer number two.
Hello.
You're a senior at Arizona State studying molecular biology and chemical engineering.
I am.
Welcome. Shoshana, you work at Make-A-Wish. Is there a wish that you've granted that was particularly memorable?
It would have to be, I wish to hug a penguin.
Oh.
We had a wish kid who told us that he dreamed about hugging penguins. His whole room was decorated in penguins. So I asked him, you know, well, what do you think that'll be like? Oh, it's going to be soft and fluffy. So I was like, hate to break it to you, but it'll be like hugging a fish. But he did it and he loved it.
He hugged the penguin?
He actually stole a kiss as well.
Ah! That sounds great. Freya, you received a Fulbright research grant, but it's to work in a lab in the Netherlands on developing lab-grown meat.
Indeed. Would you eat lab-grown meat, Ophira?
I mean, if someone said, eat this lab-grown meat, I'd try a little bit, but it does sound disgusting.
We're working on that.
Okay. And we are growing meat in a lab to try to stop basically slaughtering animals. Is that the idea?
Yeah, so, I mean, meat consumption's pretty bad for the environment,
yeah,
pretty bad for animals. So that's the potential to sort of, like, change the landscape of, like, resource consumption and food security. And also you have sort of this mad science aspect. So, like, if we're growing stuff in a lab, can we grow, like, a meat no one's ever had before? What if it's super tasty?
Yeah, that's how it goes, a meat we've never had before. You're like, let's grow a meat product that I can, like, hang out with and be friendly with, and that's what's going to happen. Okay. Remember, Shoshana and Freya, the first of you who wins two of our games will move to the final round at the end of the show. Let's go to your first game. Your first game is a word game called Rinse, Peat, Repeat. When the prefix re, as in R-E, comes before a word, it usually means that you're doing something over again, like rewrite or reorder. But in this game, we've invented alternative definitions for words that start with re. Let's go to our puzzle guru, Art Chung, for an example.
If we said, I give up trying to write my name at the bottom of this letter, you would say re-sign or resign. Get it?
Let's go. Here's your first one. I absolutely will not put a new circuit breaker in the house. Shoshana.
Refuse?
Refuse is correct. Yeah.
Let's go over what happened. Your hat fell off, so you put it back on, right? Freya.
Recap.
Recap is correct.
I didn't mean to jump back like that, but you scared me when you said we needed to put new springs in the mattress. Shoshana.
Recoil.
Recoil is correct, yes.
I can fix both of these bad relationships. You should be in a couple with him instead, and she should be in a couple with that other guy.
Your voice is so soothing, but I can't.
Oh, that, yes, I know. I'm just... yeah, my distractingly soothing voice. Yeah, you fall asleep before the clue's over. I know. Somebody buzzed
Freya.
In. Who was it? Freya.
Is it repair?
It is repair. That's right.
I'm going to make this right. Put your clothes back on. Shoshana.
Redress.
Yeah, that's right.
This is your last clue. They just let me out of prison, and now I can rent my apartment for another year. Freya.
Release.
That's right. Art Chung, how did our contestants do?
It's a tie.
Oh, boy.
Here's your tiebreaker. I've got my energy back. Let's get back out there and rack up some expenses on my Amex.
Recharge?
That's right, Shoshana. Well done. You're one step closer to moving on to the final round.
If it was excruciating for you to pick your favorite prefix, you should be a contestant on our show. Go to amatickets.org. Coming up, we'll meet a mystery guest who's from Phoenix. All I've been told is that it's not Alice Cooper. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Progressive. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit their website to get a quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, and their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. Then just choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Betterment, an automated investing and savings app. CEO Sarah Levy shares why accessibility is central to Betterment's mission.
The real innovation for Betterment was taking a set of tools that were used by the ultra wealthy and making them accessible to the average investor. And that includes tax strategies, that includes dollar cost averaging. These are all sort of tricks of the trade.
Learn more about automated investing technology at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another, coming to you from the Orpheum Theater in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Jonathan Colton with puzzle guru Art Chung. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Before the break, we met our contestants, Shoshana and Freya. Soon I'll slow dance with Jonathan Colton at the music parody prom of my dreams. Keep your hands on my waist.
Yes,
but
of course.
First, let's check in with our contestants. Shoshana, from the ages 9 to 15, you went to a circus camp run by hippies?
Yes, actually run by Wavy Gravy, so a very famous hippie. He emceed Woodstock.
Oh, yeah, okay. So what did you learn?
I learned nothing particularly well. I can do a little bit of trapeze, a little bit of tightrope. I'm pretty good at throwing together a ridiculous costume. I can get on stage and be ridiculous and not fear the consequences.
Yeah, that's an art. That is an art. Freya, you once did a faceplant into the Declaration of Independence. Do you want to give a couple more details about that?
The most patriotic moment of my life.
Yeah.
I was there with the school group, and I was like 15, and someone had pointed out that there were sensors embedded in the glass. They might have just been lights, but I was convinced National Treasure would come out. So I turned my head to look at them and sort of bend down, and I misjudged the distance. So I just face first into this really important document. And the security guards were like baffled. They'd probably never seen something like that before. Usually they go for the hands, not the nose. But yeah.
Right. Got a close look.
Right.
Yeah. We've got a music parody for you called Things with Wings. This game is inspired by two things associated with Phoenix. Number one, the mythical bird that rose from the ashes. And number two, the 1980s band, Mr. Mister. Jonathan Colton, tell us more.
Well, we rewrote Mr. Mister's hit song, Broken Wings, to be about things with wings. Just buzz in and guess what I'm singing about, and keep in mind the word wings has many definitions, he said mysteriously.
Heads up, always pads will never be an answer, okay? Shoshana, you won the last game, so you win this, and you go right to the final round. Freya, you need to win this, or you'll have to change your name to Mrs. Mrs.
Here we go. Baby, don't understand why folks just want to talk about my first band. Oh, big hits like silly love songs for one, and also Band on the Run, Live and Let Die. That was I. Shoshana.
Paul McCartney.
You got it. Take this pee-filled cup, think it's a kidney stone, so I've got pain to spare. Dr. Gray, stop hooking up. I know McDreamy's cute, but I came here for care. Whoa.
Grey's Shoshana? Anatomy?
Grey's Anatomy, we're looking for the name of the hospital.
Well, what part
they change it to Sloan Gray Memorial. I watch too much of this show if I even got that
far.
Yeah,
there's too many names. You can't even pick one.
We'll give that to you. We're looking for either Seattle Grace or Gray Sloan Memorial Hospital.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks.
She's like, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Baby, don't look at me. I'm a great old one, so it'll make you crazy. Whoa. Baby, as you have read, you will worship me and my octopus-like head. Like Lovecraft said. Freya.
It's either Cthulhu or Medusa.
You have to give me one answer, I'm afraid.
I mean, Cthulhu?
Yes, that's correct. It's Cthulhu. So take a bedrock flight, ride in this hollow log strapped upon my back. Technically, it isn't right to call me dinosaur, so tell those movie hacks, yeah, yeah. Freya.
A pterodactyl?
That's right, pterodactyl, or technically, pterosaur. Technically not a dinosaur.
And why is that again?
It's boring reasons.
Yeah.
Okay. Lindy, he took a chance. He flew me all by himself. From New York to France, red-eye flight. Up all night. Freya.
This could go horribly wrong. Enola Gay? Yeah, see? Horribly wrong.
No, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Do you know the answer, Shoshana?
The Spirit of St. Louis?
Yeah, you got it.
How many famous planes?
The only airplane name I know.
It's the only name of an airplane you could think of, yeah. Charles Lindbergh's plane. This is your last clue. Take these snow white wings. If you want to fly, just take a ride on me. Where I touch ground, my hooves make springs. I am the coolest horse in Greek mythology. Freya.
Pegasus.
Oh, yeah, Pegasus. Art Chung, how did they do?
Well, it's a tie. So, hands on your buzzers. Enterprise, Discovery, and Atlantis were this type of NASA spacecraft. Freya.
Space shuttle.
That is correct. Congratulations, Freya. You've tied it up one game apiece, so we're going to a quick game three. I'm going to give you a category, and you'll go back and forth, naming things that fall in that category. The first contestant to mess up will be eliminated. Here's your category. Name the 10 countries that start with the letter N, as in Nancy, in English. Shoshana.
Nigeria.
Nigeria is correct. Freya.
Oh, Netherlands.
Netherlands is correct. Shoshana.
Nepal.
Correct. Freya.
New Zealand.
Correct. Shoshana.
Northern Ireland.
Contentious.
I'm sorry, that is not technically a country. The other countries were Namibia, Nauru, Niger, North Korea, and Norway. Shoshana, I'm sorry, we have to say goodbye. Freya, you're headed to the final round.
While Cole and Freya get ready for the final round, it's time for us to play a game. This is Mystery Guest. A stranger is about to come on stage. Jonathan and I have no idea who this person is or what makes them special, but our puzzle guru, Art Chung, does.
That's right, Ophira. You and Jonathan will work together as a team to figure out our Mystery Guest's secret by asking yes or no questions. Mystery Guest, please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Stacey Gordon, and I have an interesting job.
That's all you get.
What?
Ophira, you asked the first question.
Okay, does your job involve dealing with people that are alive? I say this because I've dealt with a lot of mystery guests at this point.
Yes.
Does your job involve you performing in some way?
Yes.
Does your job involve you singing?
Yes.
Are you a singer?
It's like record time for us.
Seems
that
like
is
an obvious
time.
Question. That's not entirely the...
No.
It involves more than singing, I take it.
Yes.
Okay, does it also involve dancing?
No.
Why not?
You should think about it. A
I
lot
would
of people
fall
love
down.
Dancing.
Her job requires a lot of use of her hands.
Ah, are you a professional jazz hands artist?
That's my side job.
Are you a conductor?
No.
Are you using your hands in sign language?
No.
Are your hands manipulating puppets?
Yes.
Ah!
Yes.
Are you a puppeteer?
Yes.
Okay, then you must work on a show. Do you work on a television show?
Yes.
Do you work on Sesame Street?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. A puppeteer.
So Stacy is the puppeteer behind the newest Sesame Street Muppet, Julia.
Julie is the first new Muppet on Sesame Street in 10 years, and she's a 4-year-old girl with autism.
Wow! Did you grow up on Sesame Street?
No, I mean, I grew up watching Sesame Street. I didn't grow up physically on Sesame
Street. Sure, no.
Okay. I want to make that very clear.
It's not a real street. It's an imaginary...
No, it's a real street.
Well, I mean,
it's in Tempe.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But you watched the show as a kid.
Absolutely, yeah.
Was it always your dream?
Oh, yeah. When I was a little kid, I wanted to be a twiddlebug. And then I was like, oh, you know what? I'm not a twiddlebug. So then I wanted to be a kid on Sesame Street. Yeah. And then when I realized they were puppets and I could manipulate them, I wanted to be a butterfly.
Yeah.
I wanted to work one of those butterflies in the background of a Bert and Ernie.
Can you tell us what that entails, being a Jim Henson schooled puppeteer?
So a Muppeteer is what we're called. You're trained in a very specific way. We use monitors so we can see what the camera sees. You see the opposite of what you're doing. So if I turn my hand to the left on the screen, it will turn to the right. So it messes with your brain a little bit.
One interesting fact is that Julia, the character, existed first online, and the Sesame Street producers wanted to bring Julia to the program. So can you talk about how a Phoenix puppeteer got the job?
Right. I was actually friends with a couple of the Muppeteers who work on Sesame Street. And when Sesame Street was looking for a puppeteer for Julia, they specifically wanted a puppeteer with a strong connection to autism to bring authenticity to the character. And Leslie Carrara-Rudolph and Pam Arciero both knew me and knew that I have a son on the autism spectrum, and they recommended me for the job.
And what was the first day on the job like?
I had strep throat, so that was exciting. It was pure magic, really. I couldn't have asked for a more supportive cast, a more supportive crew. I felt loved and I felt accepted, just like you would imagine if you walk on Sesame Street, how you would feel.
Right.
And like walking into Hooper's store and being able to pick things up and then, you know, our prop guy saying, don't pick that up.
And have you just grabbed a butterfly here and there? And been
I did get to do a butterfly. Marty Robinson plays Snuffleupagus and Telly Monster and Slimy the Worm, and he made sure that I got to be a butterfly.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you for bringing your great puppeteering skills to, like, the most beloved children's show of my past and people's present, and I'm sure the future, and for coming on our show. Everyone give it up for our mystery guest, Stacey Gordon. Now it's time to crown our big winner. Let's bring back our finalist, Cole Eskridge, whose motto is less talk, more PowerPoint. And Freya Mehta, who's researching lab-grown meat. Puzzlegur Archung, take it away.
Thanks, Ophira. Cole and Freya, in honor of our long flight from Brooklyn to Phoenix, your final round is called Are We There Yet? Every answer will contain something that sounds like a method of transportation. So, for example, if I said, this astronomer was the original narrator of the science show Cosmos, you'd answer Carl Sagan, which has car in it. We're playing this round like a penalty shootout. You'll each get up to 8 questions. The contestant who scores the most points will be our big winner. Your prize is an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube signed by Penn Jillette. We rolled a virtual 20-sided die backstage, and Cole is going first. Here we go. Cole. Some regions prefer a hoagie or grinder, but most of America enjoys this large sandwich.
A sub? A submarine sandwich?
That's correct. Freya, he's pictured in the 1889 painting, Self-Portrait with Bandaged Ear.
Van Gogh.
That is correct. Cole, Liza Minnelli starred in the 1972 film version of this musical.
Cabaret.
That is correct. Freya, a 1987 comedy starring Cher and Nicolas Cage. Can I give you 3 seconds? I'm sorry, we were looking for Moonstruck. Truck.
They really don't like that one.
Cole, it's a widely used brand of playing cards.
Bicycle.
That is correct. Freya, a popular family game using 5 dice and a cup. 3 seconds.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sorry, we were looking for Yahtzee. Which
Yahtzee?
Was That's what you're supposed to say, yep. Cole, a backyard game in which you score 3 points for a ringer or one for a leaner?
Horseshoe.
That is correct. Freya, a modern term for a mom or dad who hovers over their children's every move?
Helicopter parent.
That is correct. We're at the halfway point. Cole is in the lead, 4-2. Cole, it's a simple machine also known as a ramp. 3 seconds.
A ramp?
That is incorrect. We were looking for inclined plane. Freya, it's a popular sunscreen brand with a yellow logo.
A banana boat?
That is correct. Cole, a palindromic travel booking website.
Kayak?
That is correct. Freya, an English singer-songwriter who was the lead singer of Roxy Music. 3 seconds. We were looking for Brian Ferry. Look him up. It's good. The score is 5-3. Cole, if you get this question right, you win. He's the Hollywood martial arts star from China who appeared in all 3 Expendables movies.
Jackie Chan?
No, I'm sorry. We were looking for Jet Li. All right, Freya, if you get one more question wrong, Cole will win the game. It's a long-running hip-hop and R&B music show hosted by Don Cornelius.
This is not the right answer, and I know it, but it has the word run in it, so I'm going to run with it and run DMC. Clearly not the correct answer.
No, I'm sorry. The answer was Soul Train, which means
Soul
Cole, you're a winner.
Congratulations, Cole. And that's our show. Ask Me Another's puzzle guru is Art Jung.
Hey, my name anagrams to Narc Thug.
Our house musician is Jonathan Coulton.
Thou Jolta Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Eric Feinstein, Andrew Kane, and senior writers Kyle Beakley and Karen Lurie. Ask Me Another is produced by Mike Katzeff, Travis Larchuk, Julia Melfi, Danny Shin, Ramel Wood, and our intern Toya Singh, along with Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We are recorded by Rick Kwan and Valvetone Recordings. Ask Me Another was created by Eric Newsom and Jesse Baker. We'd like to thank the Orpheum Theater in Phoenix, Arizona.
Hear the truth poem.
KJZZ.
JK.
And our production partner, WNYC.
YNCW.
I'm Harriet Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from the NPR. Hey, if you've listened this far, why not go the extra mile and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts? Your comments provide valuable feedback for us, and it helps other people find us too. So for information on new episodes, upcoming live shows, and extra games, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And who knows, maybe you could win a Rubik's Cube. Thanks. Thank you so much for listening, and did you catch the controversial ruling? There was a quick game 3 about countries that start with the letter N, and Shoshana was eliminated for saying Northern Ireland. So when this episode originally aired, we received a lot of letters in defense of Northern Ireland as a country. So we have Puzzle Guru Art Chung right here to explain. What do you have to say for yourself?
Well, Ophira, while it's not a clear-cut case, I felt that Northern Ireland didn't have important attributes that most people would consider to define a country. Like, for example, it doesn't have its own military, foreign policy or embassies, trade agreements or social services. And all those things, it relies on the United Kingdom to provide them. And although Northern Ireland has a legislature, the UK Parliament retains sovereignty over it and could overrule any laws it passed. And more importantly, it's not recognized as a sovereign state by the United Nations. So in the end, all these things differentiated Northern Ireland for me from other political entities like Norway, Namibia, or Nicaragua. And while there certainly may be a point in the future when Northern Ireland achieves full independence, we're comfortable saying that right now it's not currently a country.
Well, they have a lot of enthusiastic supporters. Thanks to all of our listeners for writing in, and thanks, Art. Next time on Ask Me Another, we're joined by former U.S. Poet Laureate Rita Dove. And before she was winning Pulitzer Prizes and collecting honorary degrees, she was naming characters in her own comic books.
Well, we had our typical superheroes, Jet Boy, Jet Girl, and their dog, Jet Zumino.
Join me, Ophira Eisenberg, on NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Homes.com. When you're home shopping as a parent, you have lots of questions about local schools. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by a dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.